Brandon.
And this is The Cozy Co-op, a podcast made by a video game journalist and a creative writer to talk about video games. Today's topic is the original Mega Man. But first, we're going to start with some news. Hi, baby.
Hi. Not going to ask me how I am?
I am asking you. This is my first time doing the intro.
Yeah, you kind of threw me off guard there.
I know.
I think we might have heard my can open. I'm doing all right. Been a bit of a groggy morning. But yeah, got some neat news for you today. One of which is actually
neat news.
Neat news. Like, with two E's.
Neat news.
Anyway.
Neat.
So, the oldest bit is, this happened on Thursday. Nintendo has announced that they will be creating an online Mii Maker. Because...
I do remember you telling me this.
Because I guess they've been getting rid of Miis in a lot of capacity. You can't make a Mii anymore on the Switch. They kind of removed that ability.
Mm.
They got rid of Miiverse. Miitomo is shutting down. Basically, Miis are dying, but they don't want it to die. I guess. So they have announced that they're going to be putting out an online Mii Maker, which I'm really happy about. I quite like the Miis. They are very...
They're just funny little guys.
I like them because you can really portray a person... Even though they're so simple of, like,
that is
expressions.
True.
I have a friend of mine, I'm not going to say his name. I made a Mii of him, and, like, it is the most spot-on recreation of this man I have ever seen. I've tried making better in anything else.
Yeah, you can have those really realistic character creators, but weirdly enough, it's stuff like...
Like Everybody's Golf.
I was about to say Everybody's Golf and the Miiverse.
Everybody's Golf is just an amazing character creator.
I think it's because of the lack of details.
You're able
like
to
it's
kind of
just enough.
You're able to work on the exaggerated features of a character more than the nitpicky details. Next bit, Nintendo has a job opening. It is a level designer for a Legend of Zelda game.
Hmm.
Here's the interesting thing about that. They've already stopped making DLC for Breath of the Wild.
So this is for the next Zelda game?
That's the assumption, yeah. Because, well, what else are they making it for?
Yeah.
The question is, what kind of Zelda game? Is it going to be a 3DS game? Is it going to be a new Switch game? Perhaps they're going to make a Zelda mobile game. Because the new president has expressed interest in making more Nintendo mobile games.
It's going to be a MOBA.
A MOBA? A Zelda MOBA. Wow, that's a thought. Huh. I was not prepared for this revelation.
It's going to be a Zelda puzzle game.
Depending on how you want to look at this, this might technically be the first confirmation of a new Zelda game. Which, cool.
Big deal. I really want to play Breath of the Wild. I've never wanted to play a Zelda game as badly as I've wanted to play. I've never played a Zelda game, but I super want to play Breath of the Wild.
You know what else is on my 3DS?
Zelda?
The first one.
Oh.
It's not any easier.
Mm.
You know, I say that. She's been... We'll get into that. Not yet. One more bit of news. Capcom. Capcom is a publicly owned company, so they have to appeal to their investors. And that involves annual investor reports. So, the Capcom investor report portal is actually publicly available. You can just go and look through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't find it. Someone else did. I wish I could claim credit for this. In the... I can't remember the proper title, but basically an estimation for the 2018 fiscal year, Capcom was saying some of their plans. They are going to continue promotion for Monster Hunter World... In anticipation for the PC release of the game this fall, they are going to continue promoting and other stuff and blah blah. It was business jargon. But the most interesting bit was the last part that said they plan to release two major titles in 2018.
Which titles are those?
I don't know.
Oh.
All it says is two major titles.
Two big ones.
So... We've already gotten some big titles already. Street Fighter V came out last year. Monster Hunter World came out this year. It's possible it may even be a new Mega Man game.
Hmm.
They did say that, I think, a new Mega Man game was in the works for this fall? I don't quite recall.
How long has it been since the last Mega Man game came out?
A very long time.
Oh, that's what I was thinking.
The rights to Mega Man have been a bit wishy-washy, and we'll get into that later because of something called Mighty Number 9.
Okay.
But that's all the news we got for today. Let's talk about Mega Man!
And how much I'm terrible at it.
You're not that
This
bad.
Was the first time doing this podcast where Brandon was like, listen, we're going to talk about this game. I have this game. I want you to play this game. Because it's on my 3DS. You can just take it home with you, and I want you to play it. And I didn't for several days.
For about 5 days, yeah.
Yeah. Because I think you gave it to me after we recorded the last episode.
Yeah.
So I waited until Monday, possibly Tuesday.
Did you play it on Monday? No, you did. That was sentences. Maybe. Because I played it a bit on the weekend just because I felt like it.
Yeah.
And then you played after that.
Well, there was a good 10 minutes of gameplay before I just quit for the day, because this is not my scene, apparently.
Now, yeah, the first Mega Man isn't by any means an easy game, but that is more of a product of the time, and I would love to dive deeper into that, but I want to hear more about your experience. What made it so hard?
I think it was the enemies. I don't know. Part of my problem was forgetting what the buttons do.
The jump button and the shoot button.
Yes, I kept mixing up the jump and the shoot button, which would get me shot more. Mm-hmm. And then the enemies that were the worst were the ones that, like, jump up and hover around you. So I know you can jump and shoot at the same time. I know that, but they were never in my shooting line of sight ever.
So the biggest hindrance was your inability to shoot in any direction other than forward.
Yeah, and I think that I didn't realize that you can control how high you jump.
Oh, yeah, it's the longer you hold it, the bigger you jump.
I didn't know that.
So were you just making these little hippie hoppies?
Yeah, and I was like, I was having trouble a few times because I couldn't get up to the next platform or something, and I was like, I had to like jump in a special way to get up there, and I was like, oh, this is really... I did not know that you can just hold it down and you jump higher. I don't think that registered to me. I probably did it a few times, but it just did not register. I don't know. And I did not like how every time you went back to a screen that it reset everything. Like, I just cleared out all of these things that were shooting at me, and then I fell down, and then they're all there shooting at me again.
Yeah.
It's too hard. I play games on easy. I played about 4 different levels, and none of them... I never got past, like, 2 screens.
Which, that is one neat thing about this game, is that you can just pick one to go to.
Yeah, I didn't know that until you said that to me.
Yep. And they don't keep that in, like, Mega Man X and beyond, but, like, 1 through 6... Yeah, you could just go, you could pick whatever enemy you wanted to go fight after, Cut Man, Flame Man, whatever, and then you beat them. And I really like this because you could then use the power you gain from them to have a better advantage with the others.
Is there a particular order you think is best?
I can tell you the first 2, otherwise after that I'm not entirely sure. Flame Man's probably the last one. But I like to do Cut Man first. It generally seems to be the easiest one.
Mm.
And then I like to do Elec Man after that because the Cutter Boomerang power really helps with dealing with those floor movie boys.
Okay, I can see why.
Because it moves in like an arc pattern, so you can hit something that's a little bit above and to the right or a little bit below. And your other powers help hit those other weird angles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for Elec Man's power, he shoots electric forward as well as up and down. So now you have a way to shoot things directly above you if you have to.
Okay.
I don't remember what Iceman's power is. Was it making a platformer or something like that? I don't know. Ice levels suck.
Yeah, that was the other thing, is I was playing through them and I kept telling Brandon, I'm not playing anymore. This is so hard. I don't like this. This is not, I just feel like a failure. And he goes, oh, you haven't played the ice level yet? I said, no, because you hate ice levels. Brandon wrote an entire article about how bad ice levels are.
Absolutely. They are the bane of video game existence.
He says, I hate ice levels.
I do.
And so then I played the ice level, and on top of everything else that I couldn't do, I also couldn't
walk normal
anymore.
Yeah.
Because I was sliding around. I was like, great, this is what I needed.
Almost as if sliding on ice is unintuitive to gameplay.
Yeah.
Why does everyone do it?
Because it makes things hard easily.
So this game, yeah, it's not easy. But video games back then weren't easy, intentionally so.
I think there's a bell curve where it started with, like, Pong and Pac-Man and stuff, which I can play those real easy. And a game like Galaga, where you're just at the bottom of the screen shooting stuff, mm-hmm. and Tetris and things, I can do those no problem. They're simple and...
Well, here's the thing. Have you ever beaten them?
No.
Because you can't.
Yeah.
So, but it can be easy because it's never ending.
Yeah.
Whereas, that I wrote a different article about this, the evolution of games. When home consoles started happening and then video games for the NES were starting to be made, they didn't have to be infinite anymore. They could end. But the problem is, if they can end, they need to end
satisfying
in a worthwhile time frame. So, in order to extend the longevity? In order to extend the playtime of a game.
Sure.
They would be hard. They'd make them harder. And, you know, that makes it to where you play it longer. If you never die, you're going to just breeze through. You can beat Mega Man in probably 2 hours.
Okay.
If you're good.
Someone, maybe, give me Mega
Man
in 2 hours. Someone who's not me. But what I was saying about the bell curve thing is, like, all of those games, like you said, for the arcade games, I can play pretty easily. And then you get into things like Mega Man and mm-hmm. Castlevania and stuff like that. I don't do as well with those because I just don't have the coordination necessary, I guess. I don't know. But then we curve back up to the later games that we see a lot more commonly today, where you get a lot of tutorials and it's a lot of running around and exploring and stuff like that. And I can play those really easy. Plus, like, difficulty settings.
Well, it also helps that as video games age, they primarily gravitated towards younger audiences. Like mm-hmm. back in the 80s and 90s, you know, yeah, a bunch of kids played video games, but a lot of them weren't marketed towards kids. They were marketed towards older audiences. That's why you had games like Doom and Ninja Gaiden, which is like hardcore, serious action. And like, you still have that nowadays,
edgy.
Sure. But now that video games have established themselves as an entire industry, they're realizing the money to be made is with children-friendly games.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I always have such a quarrel with people complaining about, like, oh, why did the new Pokemon add in this feature? It's so childish and stupid. I'm like, dog,
it's for kids.
It's for children. Yeah, but none of us like it. That's because y'all ain't children.
Yeah.
You are not their main demographic. They're not trying to sell it to you. They're trying to sell it to all these millions of kids that aren't on the internet. Y'all are in an echo chamber. Calm down. Anyway, I lost my train of thought.
We were talking about the difficulty of
yeah.
Mega Man.
So, the difficulty you're experiencing is definitely a product of the time. The original Super Mario Brothers, that's not an easy game either.
So are you saying these difficult games were made for older audiences and not children?
No, I'm saying that these difficult games were just difficult to make them last longer.
Okay.
Not necessarily directed toward children or adults.
So I was about to say, if it was supposed to be for kids and I cannot do it, I have lost something.
I do believe that as the industry got older, a greater focus was given on younger audiences, in which then they started to make them easier.
So let's talk more about Mega Man specifically.
How about his face?
Okay. He's got
Mega
a cute
Man's,
little round face.
Mega Man's face is a programming
error
masterpiece.
Oh. Sorry.
Wow. What if
he heard you? I thought you were going to tell me a cool behind the scenes thing.
I was going to say a cool behind, but now you're making it sound like you're calling him ugly. He's a little boy with a little robot face. He can't help it.
I think he's adorable. I thought you were going to say it was an error that turned out to be really cool.
No. It was very intelligently designed. You see, the Super Nintendo, it is very graphically limited. I've done a lot of research on this. And every 8x8 square, there can only be, at most, 4 colors.
Yeah.
Technically more, but we'll get into that. So, backgrounds, you will never see more than 4 colors. One of these colors is usually reserved for black. But that's why they had this graphical styling of, you know, 3 colors on everything. Well, for objects and character models, one of those 4 colors is a transparency. So now they're down to 3 colors. Mega Man is 2 pieces, his body and his face. His face is actually its own separate programming object, allowing it to have the same color sprite. Whereas his body is a separate object, so that when he changes powers, he changes colors. That's why his face stays the same color, even though his body will change from, like, the blues to the reds. And because of this clever usage to where, you know, put his face over top of his body, even though it's 2 objects, you'll see him with, you know, 3 shades of blue and also, like, skin tone and then black. And his face had different... He had more than 3 colors on an object. So, genius. Genius! It was a wonderful example. Mega Man is absolutely chock full of very clever programming. You may have noticed at times when you were playing that objects would start flickering. Did you see any of that?
I think so.
That is because there can only be 8 objects on a scan line.
Huh.
And the computer can't, or computer console can't really handle anymore. But what do you do when there are 8 objects? What if there's, you shoot 3 lemons? It might not even be 8, it might be less. What if you shoot 3 little lemons? Then you've got Mega Man, and then you've got 2 enemies in front of you. That's too many. Or if Electric Zap is also happening, what the computer does then is it'll intentionally not render one object for one frame, then it will bring it back, and then intentionally not render a different object for that one frame. And for us, it looks like they're all flickering.
Yeah.
But because it's doing this clever jumping on what not to render, it's able to have more objects in one scan line.
That's cool. It seems like whoever was behind Mega Man, like, really was, not only knew what they were doing, but they...
It was extremely well made.
Yeah.
Like, you watched Egoraptor's Sequelitis.
I was just about to say that. One of Egoraptor's... That's Aaron Hansen, right?
That is Aaron
Hansen. Okay, I just want to make sure I was right about that. His series Sequelitis, one of the most popular videos from that is his Mega Man. The original Mega Man versus Mega Man X.
Yeah.
Right? And I decided to watch that to sort of prepare for today's episode. And it just made me feel worse because I had seen this one several times before. And thought, wow, it's amazing. This video game is so intuitive and conveys things very well. Because he talks a lot about how it doesn't need tutorials. It shows you what you need to know before you have a chance to get damaged or fall or something like that. Which is great, except that the things he's talking about in the game, like, oh, you can easy peasy jump on this platform. And then you notice that the platform below you will flip down, so you'll fall. And so you don't jump on it at that point. You know what you're going to get it. Like, no, no, no. Because it took me 8 tries to get on that first easy platform. And then I kept falling off and I don't.
I had a lot of trouble with that. The Guts Man stage, the platforms in the beginning, I had trouble with it too, even after knowing all of that. It's not a...
So,
but he is right. Mega Man, yeah. Even the classic ones, is full of well-designed games that teach you without teaching. And that's something I've loved about video games for a long time, is the idea of you don't have to be told anything to know how to play.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
So, with this in mind, the games that I've been playing since I was little were tutorial-based games.
Pajama Sam Sockworks.
Oh my god, I think I played that.
Me too. God, I loved it. That game is what started me to like those weird machinery-based games like Factorio.
Whoa. You are taking me on a trip right now, because I now, all of a sudden, my brain is flooded with Pajama Sam and Putt-Putt and Freddy Fish. And like, holy crap, I forgot all about those games, but I played the crap out of them when I was little. No, but... I am used to games where, you know, like Beyond Good and Evil, Jade Empire, Dragon Age, stuff like that, where you get into it, especially Knights of the Old Republic, where you get into it and then you keep having things pop up that say what things do and whatever.
I would definitely say that that time period in video game life, probably when the whole hand-holding aspect was its worst, the pop-up screens and the tutorials.
I think the worst offender that I've ever seen is the Solid Snake games, because it's literally, like, someone calls you and is like, Snake, do you know how to eat that food? And it's like, whoa, dog. Who am I right now? But, so, I grew up playing all these games, whereas you very likely grew up playing stuff like Mega Man and Pokemon and things like that.
God, we're gonna... I have no idea when we're gonna talk about Pokemon. We might have to save that for a
big one. That's probably gonna have to be a series. We can split them.
I'm just thinking, like, save it for our 50th episode or something.
But do you think that that hand-holding sort of style of video games affects the way people then play the sorts that don't? Because I was finding that I was less intuitive to things in the Mega Man game. So I understood, like I said, I'd seen that Ego Raptor video several times. I already knew that this game was really good with conveyance and showing what you need to do, except that I was still very bad at it. So I think I have a harder time picking up on subtle cues and things that are pointing me to what I need to do.
That's a really good point. That is something I have noticed, in that I believe an amazing game is one that it doesn't have to tell you how to do anything, but it will end up making you do them without you realizing it.
Mm-hmm.
A good example would be, let's say Doom. Where, as I said before, there's green lights in certain areas that kind of direct you where you want to go. It never says, go over here. But you just kind of know because you see that that direction happens to be different.
Mm-hmm.
Good game design directs you and then tells you what to do without telling you what to do. But when you've become accustomed to games that do tell you what to do, you kind of become numb to these subliminal directions. So
yeah.
You can be sitting there going, you'll see the green light over by the way you have to go, and you'll just disregard it because nothing's telling you to go over there, so you just don't know where to go. I think that is absolutely true. That does hinder video game intuition.
Yeah, I think also my struggle with games like Mega Man and Borderlands is both challenges for me, because it has all the annoying stop, look, here's what you got to do things, but also it's similar to stuff like Mega Man, where just everything's shooting at me and I can't shoot back fast enough. I don't have good reflexes for video games. And I think I'm also just not competitive enough.
Casual.
I'm a very casual gamer. That's why I like to play things on easy mode, because I just like to get through it.
Filthy casual.
Gosh, you know, one of my favorite games is Curse of Monkey Island, and there's, like, no fighting in that game. You just go around and you figure it out and you puzzle things out. And, of course, I cheat a lot. I cheat a lot on puzzle games. I will go look things up and try to figure out, because I don't think... Man, I'm just bad at video games, babe. I'm not intuitive, I'm not clever, I don't like getting shot at. Like, why do I play video games?
You'll just go back to Stardew Valley for the 300th hour.
You know what? Yeah.
I can't even blame you. I love farming sim games. Who am I kidding?
I love Stardew Valley. There's, like, nothing... The only things I have to look up in Stardew Valley are where people are and the things that they like.
Yeah. Very stalker-esque.
Okay, thanks.
I also think that it's harder to enjoy older games like Mega Man, because there has been this change in how to treat death in video games over the last few generations.
I will say, I do really like the way Mega Man does it. Other than the... Because I do play on your 3DS, which does allow me to have a save state.
Yeah, so mild cheating.
But I didn't do that until today. When I was playing before, I just kept going back to the beginning of the level.
And that's good. It shows patience. And I think thing that old games had that new games don't have is patience. People, if people were willing to wait for things or to do things again or do things slower, then the mobile game market wouldn't be what it is.
Very true.
There wouldn't be these buy more energy or watch your Hogwarts child strangle themselves.
Because, yes, I would... I was going to say, I do like the way Mega Man does it, because they give you 3 lives, so you can die 3 times before you have to reset the whole thing. But they do give you a lot of life to work with. You've got a pretty sizable bar. Like, you have a lot of chances to get shot at and stuff like that before you go down.
Till we get to the bosses.
That's true.
You didn't get to... The bosses will hurt you more than you hurt them. Which means you gotta hit them
more.
Jump
around.
If you're not... Though, that was nice because they have weaknesses and strengths.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Iceman... Well, I don't remember his true name. He's weak to fire. So if you go and you got Flame Man's powers and then go fight Iceman, you're gonna have a much easier time.
Yeah.
I can't remember who's strong to what. It's just a jumble of things. It's all arbitrary. Like, Bomb is better than Guts. Guts, I don't know. I think Guts is better than Cut, but, like, who's going to go to Guts
gross.
Man before Cut
Man?
What
do you get from Guts Man?
You know those giant square blocks that are just kind of in the way sometimes?
Yeah.
You can pick them up and throw them. Guts as in, like, grr.
Strength. Okay, you got Guts.
Not, right. Like, intestinal.
That's what I was saying. Well, you put me through that in Dungeons & Dragons once. You made me go grab somebody's intestines and fight an intestine.
You didn't grab... Okay. The intestines were in a jar, thank you.
Yeah, and but the big one was trying to eat
me. The giant intestine worm was technically an illusion.
Whatever. It was not heavy.
Are we going to talk about Dungeons and Dragons on this?
Yes, I have it on the list.
Is it? That'll be a neat one.
It is. The reason is because I think we need to do a series of Dungeons and Dragons games, meaning, like, the stuff that was... That happened because Dungeons and Dragons existed.
Oh, like a history lesson.
Well,
I do love me those video game history
yeah,
lessons.
Yeah, we'll talk about that another time.
And I think that, to get back to my initial point, games are more forgiving now. For example, in Super Mario Odyssey, when you die, you lose some coins. This is inconvenient because, now I can't buy these underpants I wanted. But other than that, that's it. There's no major punishment.
Man, that's my favorite thing about the Lego games.
Yeah, Lego is another example.
Every time you push somebody off a cliff or something, you get all their money.
And when a game wants to be a good time and not a punishing time, it nullifies the meaning of death to where it's not something you should feel bad about.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go back to Mega Man and it's like, okay, you got 3 tries before you got to start from the beginning.
Yeah.
Good luck. And I think we've kind of culminated ourselves into less patient players. And I think because of this loss of patience, people would have a harder time enjoying old games like this. Because, yeah, it's not going to be smooth. It's not going to be easy. You're going to die. You're probably going to lose all your lives. You're going to have to start from the beginning.
Yeah.
And then you're going to get frustrated and not want to play again.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's not my jam. My jam is having quests that I can do at any time, and I can plan my video game days as I wish.
And that's I'm a huge casual myself. I like a calm, easy peasy go about things.
Mm-hmm.
So I absolutely can appreciate those.
That's why I like Snake. Oh, we should do Snake Pass.
Snake Pass? Oh, yeah, that'll be an interesting one.
I love that game. I wish that I was better at games so I could complete the last level.
Speaking of segues, why don't we go to a word from our sponsors?
Yes.
Hello. Are you a robot in need of a better life? Then come to Dr. Wily's Robotic Rehabilitation Clinic. Use your powers for good. Use your cutting for lumber mills. Flames for chef houses. Contact Dr. Wily's by 110100100110101101. Thank you.
I don't know. That's
that
all.
That was beautiful.
What?
Your Microsoft Sam voice.
I can do it better. I need to work on
it's
it.
It's so much better than
it needs to be
poor,
more monotone.
Poor GLaDOS voice.
Well, GLaDOS is a different brand of robot.
Okay. But that was so good.
That does bring me into another thing I want to talk about. These people,
they're not people.
Robot lives matter. These robots, they weren't made to be bad. The story of Mega Man is that a scientist, Dr. Wily, created these robots to better the community. Like, for example, Cut Man, he was supposed to work in a lumber mill.
Okay.
He was supposed to cut trees down. Guts Man, probably lift up heavy things. I don't know. Bomb Man would probably demolition for, like, buildings and excavations and such. But the antagonist, Dr. White, or maybe it's the other way. Dr. White is a good guy. Dr. Wily's a bad guy. I think that's it. Dr. Wily, he corrupted these robots. And he's now using them to take over the city.
Mm-hmm.
So you, Mega Man, Dr. White's final creation, have to go around and stop them.
Interesting.
And it's cool because if you do beat the game, you'll go around and you'll... It'll show, like, end credit scenes of these robots actually doing their original purpose. And it'll say, like, what they were meant to do.
Okay.
Now.
So you said you destroy them, right?
I mean, technically, yeah, but since they're around in the credits, assumably they're all right.
They get reassembled, okay. Because that would be sad if they just got blown up.
So I got some trivia for you. Cause
I'm not going to know any of it, but fine.
Oh, wait, before we... I guess this is technically the first bit, but I did show you this first. Street Fighter versus Tekken.
Ah, yes.
That boy. Okay.
Good lord.
So for the listeners who do not know about this...
It looks like he was made... Whoever created the Venture Brothers TV show, it looks like he was designed by them.
He looks like, you know, Mega Man. If you were to bring up that name, he'd go, "Ugh, I've not been called that name in a long time.
I've not heard that name in a long time."
It looks like he's become a mild alcoholic, and he goes by the name Frank.
Mm.
He looks like this sad guy underneath
mascot
outfits.
You can find him near the shipyard.
So, Mega Man is a Capcom-owned game. In the old Street Fighter versus Tekken game, there are cameo appearances by Mega Man and Pac-Man.
Now, listen.
Yeah?
You are talking about how wild Mega Man looks, but I just need to say, Pac-Man
made more sense.
Will haunt my nightmares. He had arms and legs and, like, definition to his face.
Have you not seen that version of Pac-Man?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it. That's been around for a long time. Yeah.
He had...
That Pac-Man? 3D Pac-Man?
Like, muscle definition in his face, like where his brows and his mouth are.
I don't quite remember that. I'm gonna check again. Yeah, 3D Pac-Man's been around for a long time.
I prefer the Wreck-It Ralph Pac-Man cameo where he's still just a big ball with a chomping mouth.
Should we play the Pac-Man World Adventures 3D platformer for
what
the GameCube?
Is that?
Yeah, Pac-Man has a... Basically, imagine if Banjo-Kazooie was Pac-Man.
Baby?
That lost on you?
I've not played Banjo-Kazooie.
It's a 3D platformer. I mean...
You're talking to a filthy casual who was not raised on video games.
That's what I get. Get some angry comments. Send angry comments to CozyCoop
@thelizardrock.com.
I would love to hear some angry comments.
About what?
I don't know. Whatever you want.
I don't want...
Tell me about how your stepfather doesn't understand you.
Stop.
Okay. So yeah, in Street Fighter versus Tekken, Mega Man makes an appearance. However, he does not make a normal appearance. We get an overweight...
Balding, 5 o'clock shadow.
Middle-aged man.
Yeah.
And apparently this is a joke on the cover art for the original Mega Man, because cover art back in the 1980s was garbage.
Because it seemed like they commissioned cover art for something, and that whoever commissioned it did not see any kind of art for the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just kind of did whatever they could. And like, so the cover art makes no sense.
See, I love it because in my mind, I imagine that I see this bad cover art and I think this is what they wanted the game to look like. But because of the NES, they were graphically restricted to this much cuter.
I'm so thankful that they were. That is something to derail a little bit. It's something people keep saying is we can do these realistic engines for games all we want, but what continues to last and people still like to look at are the things that like are Mega Man or Legend of Zelda, where it's stylized and cartoony, and it doesn't...
Oh, yeah, graphically done
it
well.
It ages well.
No one goes around going, God, you know, GoldenEye for the 64, that is a good-looking game. Y'all look like can openers.
The old Star Wars games I used to play, it's so hard for me to go back and play them because, like, everyone looks like they all ran headlong into a brick wall, and that's how they got their face.
Some games do not age well. Fortunately, Mega Man was one that did age well.
It does. It still looks nice. I like it.
But speaking of modernization, the people who originally made Mega Man no longer worked at Capcom. But they wanted to make another Mega Man, but they didn't have the rights. Capcom did. Mm. So they created Mighty No. 9, which, for all intents and purposes, is Mega Man.
Oh.
You are this little blue boy that goes around defeating other robots and stealing their powers.
Okay.
It sucked.
Aww.
I couldn't tell you specifically what sucked. I've not played it myself, but the critic reviews were bad. People found it unenjoyable. It bombed.
Mm.
I guess, I don't know, they lost their touch, perhaps. But Mighty No. 9 was an attempted spiritual successor, kind of like how Yooka-Laylee was supposed to be for Banjo, but Yooka-Laylee didn't even do that well.
Oh.
We'll talk about that in a different...
Okay.
It's not a bad game, is it?
You're just saying instruments now. Personally, I was a fan of French horn, but...
I'm sorry. All right, I should explain that at least. Okay.
I figure it relates to Banjo-Kazooie.
It is not Yooka-Laylee, one word. Yooka-Laylee is spelled...
Is it Yooka and Laylee?
Yooka and Laylee.
Yeah.
Y-U-K... Or Y-O-O-K-A...
Yooka.
Dash... L-A-Y-E-E. Yooka-Laylee.
Wow.
And it was... You were a chameleon and a bat.
Oh.
One was called Yooka, the other's called Laylee.
Oh.
And then that was your protagonist character as you went around this world. A similar, to Banjo-Kazooie. Also instrumental name. So yeah, Yooka-Laylee. Not Yooka-Laylee.
Okay.
Real good over an auditory medium, isn't it?
Yes.
But anyway... Mega Man's been in a lot of cameo appearances. A lot of games. One very popular one I find funny as hell. Super Smash Bros. He was added as a playable character in Super Smash Bros. For the Wii U and 3DS. This is actually partially because Capcom helped produce that Smash Bros. Game. I love this because ever since the first Smash Bros. Game... People will be like, I want to see Mega Man in Smash. And then other people would be like, no, shut up, that's stupid. They'll never do that. And now here it is.
And now we have
here it is. Clearly, with the most recent Smash Bros., they've just said, let's add in whoever we want. Y'all want the dog from Duck Hunt? Sure, why not? He's in there, yeah. Y'all want Bayonetta? Sure.
I don't care.
The color green, that's a character now, why not? It's not really.
Bayonetta's in there?
Bayonetta. She was one of the last DLC characters.
All right.
She's actually quite a good character. She got more into the Nintendo world when Bayonetta 2 was released on the Wii U.
Interesting.
She's hot, Demon Mom.
Okay.
I think she spanks angels.
Moving on.
Okay.
Is that it? Is that all we have? Are we out of talking points?
I suppose we are. There's a lot of Mega Man games, by the way. There's
how many? Are you including just for Mighty No. 9?
No.
Oh.
Just for the Nintendo...
Put Mega Man and Mighty No. 9 in a Smash Bros. Game and have them fight
to
the death.
Oh, God, no. Better. Don't put Mega Man. Only put Mighty No. 9.
Only put Mighty No. 9.
Oh, people would be so mad. Oh, that would be deliciously salty tears. They put cross brand because people would make like fan made Smash Bros. Creations. You'll find like Flash games for like Smash Bros. Flash games with people like Isaac from Golden Sun and like the dude Cloud. I spat on you a little bit. I'm sorry.
Gross.
I got excited about Cloud.
You just
Cloud from Final Fantasy VII. Another. Jokey, always put like it's like people winning Goku in Super Smash Bros. Right?
Okay.
People just they're making ridiculous claims now of why not put this character? Why not Shrek for Smash?
That would be awesome.
No, no, stop it. I've played the Nickelodeon Battle Royale game. It's not good.
Boots.
No.
Donkey.
Stop it.
The dragon.
No. I quit.
Pinocchio.
But, like, people would add in people like Cloud from...
Giant Gingy.
You
the Gingerbread Man.
Gingy?
From Shrek 2.
Is his name Gingy?
It is.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Because he's the Gingerbread Man.
No, I get it. It's just not funny.
It's just a nickname.
Can I please talk about Cloud? I am.
Yes.
I am dying here.
Okay.
I am ripe to birth with Cloud energy.
Okay, moving on past that line.
Cloud from Final Fantasy VII was another common character that people would make jokes about, like, put them in Smash. Do you see them in, like, fan-made creations? And it was something everyone considered, oh, that's silly, but it'll never happen. They threw him in? He's in Smash Bros.
I imagine it's not that difficult to just keep adding characters.
The problem is, like, it's a licensing problem, you know?
Ah, yes.
People were mad that Metal Gear Solid Snake, he was in one of the Smash Bros. Games.
Yeah.
I still don't understand how that happened.
Listen, there's nothing about Solid Snake that you should understand.
Solid
Snake. Snake. Have you played those games? Nothing makes sense.
Yeah.
Somebody turns into a swarm of bees.
But, so you can... Yeah, they chop off a hand, put it on someone's arm, and that arm is now the hand of the person.
There is not... I did not... I thought Solid Snake was just a spy game, and then I watched somebody playing it, and it just kept... I just had more questions than answers by the end of it.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes, Solid Snake can go anywhere.
Well, it blew my mind, because, like, when Snake didn't come back, people were upset. Like, why isn't Snake back? I'm like, why do you think he's not back?
He's on sabbatical.
Fun fact about him, though, when he was in Smash Bros. For the Wii U... No. He was in Brawl. He was not in Smash for Wii U. Smash 4. When he was in Brawl, one of these stipulations... I've got to believe it was a promotional thing. Because when the game came out, it was around when a new Metal Gear came out.
Mm-hmm. Metal Gear, that's what it's called.
Nintendo said...
Like a Solid Snake.
Nintendo said, no guns.
Ah.
He cannot use guns. He has a stun gun, a taser,
mm-hmm.
and he uses all sorts of explosives. But he will never use a gun.
Okay.
Because that's just Nintendo's way, is they don't like guns.
Yeah.
It's a little surprising, because Bayonetta technically has guns, but hers is like energy guns.
Yeah.
So it quite doesn't count.
I mean, Mega Man's whole arm is a blaster.
All right, yeah, but he's shooting produce.
It does look like lemons.
It does look like lemons. That's an old joke.
I thought you were going somewhere with this.
I might have been, but I've lost it now. I think I was trying to just say how it was. It blew my mind that Mega Man actually made it into the game because it sounds like a joke.
But you just gave me this whole history of things that sounded jokey and did happen.
How do I still fall for it?
You
got a new.
Sometimes you are also gullible.
We are a month away from E3.
Mm-hmm.
There is going to be a Smash 5 tournament at E3, as well as video footage by Nintendo. They're going to announce something about Smash. And I'm not prepared, because I have no idea to expect.
It's going
to
be Shrek.
Have you tried predicting Nintendo? They're so... They are LOL So Random Penguin of
That's
Doom.
That's what makes them fun.
It is! I agree, but like... I can't even try to make jokey guesses, because I'm scared I might be right. Like
Shrek, please Shrek. Fingers crossed.
Can of Coca-Cola for Smash Bros. Like,
I did like how they put like the Wii Fit,
the Wii
people.
Fit trainer. You know why they did that?
Why?
Because they had a poll for what character would you like to see in Smash. She was rated the lowest.
Oh, so they put her in.
So they just, I mean, I can't really confirm this, but I'm pretty sure they saw that she was at the bottom, and they were like, "No, screw you guys, Wii Fit trainer.
The Wii Fit trainer.
Get
just to
fit.
See what happens." Oh my goodness.
I have a lot of thoughts about Smash.
Maybe you said that Nintendo's so random. Maybe they did that on purpose. They were like, hey, let's have a poll, whoever you want in Smash Bros. And then everyone's like, wow, this one's top, so they're going to put this one in. They're like, haha, suckers!
They start doing polls. Everyone's wanting K-Rool, and I'm like, why, dog?
What's K-Rool?
K-Rool is a fat alligator antagonist from the Donkey Kong series.
Ah.
I don't know
what... What's his name, K-Rool?
Because he's cruel. Donkey Kong's full of that stuff.
Cruel.
King K. Rool. Because he's like king of the alligator people.
Oh. I gotcha. What are the other ones? Give me more wordplay.
Other Donkey Kong characters?
Yeah. Okay, tell me later.
Yeah, we don't much have time. It's about the end of the podcast.
Okay, so should we wrap it up? Mega Man's cool.
We'll talk about silly Donkey Kong characters in an episode of Donkey Kong. We have to schedule an episode of Donkey Kong.
Yes.
End of day stuff. Otherwise known as housekeeping. If you liked this, leave a review on iTunes or possibly Stitcher, whichever you like.
If you can figure it out on the...
I'm pretty sure you just can't on
Play
Google
Store.
Play.
You could just someone hack into it.
Hack into it and like...
We're the first ones
code
to
inject a review system.
Yes.
Because if we're the only one with 1 5-star review, we're going to be brought to the top.
Top of the game,
It
y'all.
Just makes sense. We're on Google Play as well. Just wherever you probably get your podcast. If your podcast medium doesn't have it, tell me about it. I'll go complain. I probably won't. I'll be polite.
You can send them a very politely worded email.
Business casual. You can follow us on Twitter as well, at Cozy Co-op Podcast.
Brandon runs that, and he actually does put some dope stuff up there sometimes.
I mean to put more dope stuff.
It's mostly posting about when we do episodes, but there are a few that...
If you want to know the moment our episode goes live, follow the Twitter. It's
up there.
I have it automatically set. Which ends up being like 1 a.m. on a Friday morning because it takes a long time for my podcast player to realize it's there. You can also find us on Facebook under the same name. You can email us as well, previously mentioned, at cozycoop@thelizardrock.com, all one word. There's no hyphen in there. I don't know if you can have hyphens on emails. Send us an email. Give us feedback. Talk about a game that we're going to play. Tell us a game you want us to talk about. Any of that jazz. You can find our news at thelizardrock.com. I write news there Monday through Friday every morning. It is where we get our news from. It's also where we host the podcast. Check it out.
Next week, we're going to continue on our BioWare run with a game called Jade Empire. So that'll be a little fun.
You'll find out the reason why I know the word poultice.
Is that really the reason why you know that word? I suppose that's true. I think that's probably why I know that word.
Poultice up with us next time on The Cozy Poultice.
No.
I just like being poultice.
How about Ivy be out?
True. No, it's playing up.